This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Have a listen to this. Have a listen to this.
Interest rates are higher. I know people don't like that, but you should be welcoming a stronger economy.
And maybe a deal has a point about the machinery of capitalism being oiled with the blood of the workers.
The United States is a country that has always paid all of its bills.
Lannister always pays his debts.
Don't let the bastards get you.
Hello and welcome to Comedian vs. Economist. We demystify the world of money and help you get a handle on the bigger picture. My name's Adam and we're joined as always by my little older brother and real life economist, Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Yeah, g'day, Adam. How are you going?
I'm doing excellent, thank you. Thomas, before we get started today, quick correction from last week. I think I pronounced it both Chile and Chile. We had a correction from Joey, who sent us an email, cve@equitymates.com. And thank you very much, Joey, for sending through the link of the rowdy Chilean footballers for reference. That was very helpful. Pointed out that it is in fact pronounced Chile is the correct pronunciation. Also, Thomas, that we may not have been entirely factual or well-researched, which doesn't come as a great surprise regarding Chile's history. Something to do with, I think you called out that there was a poet that got slain, murdered. Maybe it didn't happen.
Yeah, sounding a bit like my managers at the RBA. Blah, 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 accuracy, blah, blah.
All right, well, thanks, Joey, for sending that through anyway. Much appreciated. And Thomas, would you believe we have a massive show coming up, as always. And look, I don't want to get all sentimental, but consumer sentiment is down. Do consumers just need more CVE? And despite ballsing up our last attempt at covering South American economics, we're heading back there to take a look at Argentina this week. Argentina's inflation is running at 97% and not in a good way. And you can no longer buy coins on Binance by depositing AUD. It's too dangerous. Credit cards are still fine, though, obviously. But first, Thomas, apparently there's been a drop in the number of job ads. Truth, or did the guy doing the report just install an ad blocker in his browser? Because that will do it too.
No, you can do a way off beam. Don't even know where to start. But yeah, thanks, Adam. Thanks for the introduction. That's right. Last week was jobs week. So we got a whole bunch of jobs data, little insight into the labor market. Started off with unemployment. The unemployment rate ticked up from 3.5% to 3.7%. We don't want to read too much into the monthly numbers because they can jump around a little, but we had been waiting for the unemployment rate to tick up. The partial indicators were soft, so that was expected. And at 3.7%, it's not too high yet, but like this, you get the sense, most economists seem to get the sense that this is where the unemployment rate starts to lift and we just continue to drift higher from here.
Right.
One of the interesting stories in the employment data is that there's a real gender dimension to it. So if you look at the unemployed, the number of unemployed men is up 60,000 and the number of unemployed women is down 18,000.
Ah, so women are taking men's jobs.
Yes. That's not the takeaway.
Oh.
I mean, it's
well, I thought that would be a good thing because, a bit of equality.
They do a better job. Yeah.
Wow.
That's probably right. Pivot to quality in the labour market.
We had a turn. We had a good run. And now it's the ladies' turn to see what they can do. So I think it's good.
Yeah. No, it's just the humans trying to outmaneuver AI. Just like, we really need to get the good guns into the jobs market.
Right.
So, I mean, it's probably more of an industry story, but it's just interesting that they're moving in opposite directions. Male unemployment's gone up from last October from 3.3% to 40%. What? Sorry, 4%.
Turns out the women are doing our jobs much more efficiently.
That's right. They're up to 3.3 to 4%, and right. unemployment rate for women's down to 3.3%. So, that's a low for women. That's the lowest level since monthly records began back in 78.
Mm. What does this do to, say, the RBA and their view on interest rates and things like that? Are they going to chill out a bit?
Well, I think this was expected. I mean, probably the key data we also got last week was the quarterly wages data. Mm. So we get that every 3 months. That was up 0.8% to 3.7% over the year. That's the strongest annual rate in a decade. But at 3.7% is not particularly strong.
Mm.
RBA still saying it can deal with anything up to 4.5%. And the quarter-on-quarter numbers are now falling. So, yeah, that certainly looks like the peak of wages pressure is behind us.
Right.
Mm. And the other thing is with that is that fewer number of people were getting a pay rise. So where in December quarter it was 2/3 of people got a pay rise in the survey, now it's down to 40%.
What does this mean sort of medium to long term then? Are we heading towards, you know, obviously people talking about recessions, are we heading towards a market that's just going to be harder and harder to get a job if you've already got one? Like, should you be hanging on to it? Or because we went through a phase over the last, you know, year or two where it felt like everyone was just like, nah, I'm sick of doing this, I might go do something else. And they just got a new job because there was just so many jobs going around. Is this the start of things getting a lot tighter, a lot harder?
I think so. I mean, it's still at 3.7%, it's still tight, and the wages pressure is the best it's been in a decade. I mean, we do have the highest inflation rates in a decade too, so they tend to go hand in hand. And yeah, I mean, and this is also the point. This is what the RBA is trying to do. They're trying to slow the economy to take the heat out of inflation.
Mm.
The way you do that is by making people unemployed or some people unemployed and sort of taking the heat out of the labor market.
Mm.
That's sort of the point. Yeah, we're definitely on the path to recession, but whether we get there or not, if we can get inflation down before we get to recession, then we can maybe pull off the path to recession and we get that soft landing and everything's good.
Mm.
But if we don't bring inflation down, the RBA will try to drive us through the recession.
Right.
Into and through the recession. Yeah, this is sort of saying we're heading the right way, but...
But we need to cap it somehow. Like the RBA needs to... Well, it's not just the RBA, is it? I guess it is. Like surely their mandate's not like, right, we're just going to keep taking jobs away until we're happy with where we're at.
With inflation.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they're going to do.
Sometimes I think you just don't listen, like... We've been talking about this for 2 years.
I keep telling you that I'm not listening. Who's not? Right. Who's really not listening?
Okay. Yeah. Fair call. Yeah. No, that's right. That's exactly what the RBA's. That's the RBA's mandate as an inflation targeting central bank, and that was part of the review. Was like, let's try and broaden that a little, but like in practice, like. The world's best practice of how you run a central bank and run an economy is you dedicate the central bank to inflation, make it its sole focus, and, you know, keep the full forward out of the game effectively, and then let fiscal policy worry about everything else.
Mm.
And so that's sort of what the RBA's mandate here is, like, well, until inflation gets down to where we like it to be, unemployment needs to keep heading higher.
Nah, just I hate the world sometimes because I just hate that this we can't have nice things. It's like, well, if we want lower inflation, then some people are going to have to lose their jobs. It's like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, Wait till I tell you about climate change.
All right, Thomas, time to tune in with the consumer sentiment data. Are consumers happy?
No. Consumer sentiment's back in the toilet.
Huh.
Yeah, it fell 7.9%. This is Westpac's Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Survey. It's one of our go-to surveys.
You know how I often lament the fact that nobody asks me about these surveys?
It turns out,
I should have known. It turns out it's because I don't answer my phone. to phone calls that I don't recognize.
Yeah, right.
So, because someone actually left a message saying that they were from a survey company the other day. And I was like, that's why nobody ever asks me about these things. It's because I screen everybody from phoning me.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So, not happy.
Not happy, down. Mm. And so that's the lowest level. Like, it is weird. Like, it's that we're back at the lows we saw during peak COVID, like when COVID was really ramping up. And lowest level since just the impact, just as the GFC was breaking.
Wow.
So we're like at intense recessionary levels when it comes to consumer sentiment.
Downright misery.
Yeah, it's odd. It's odd. It just hasn't bounced back. Yeah, which is weird.
But people have got money, haven't they? I mean, you know, we keep hearing about this war chest of savings, or has that run out now? And people are like, nah, well, that's all gone. Any money we saved during COVID, we've spent that. And interest rates have gone up and mortgage is increasing and people have come off their fixed rates and now it's just doom and gloom again.
Part of that's right. Like, I think the war chest of savings story, when you dig into that, it's very skewed to high income earners and older people.
Right.
Like, sort of high wealth people and older people just tend to have higher wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very skewed. And so, like, while there was a lot of money in the war chest, in aggregate, in Australia's war chest, when you looked at who actually had it, it was mostly quite well-off people. And the majority of people didn't. So, and the majority of people are dealing with rate hikes, and that's sort of what's keeping rate hikes and inflation. So that's what's keeping downward pressure on consumer sentiment.
Which explains, I think, why some people genuinely got pretty angry when they get told there's a war chest of savings going around, because I think a lot of people are just like, I don't have that thing you're talking about that we've all got.
Yeah, we're going to make your job more insecure, but you have a war chest of savings.
It's lucky you've got that war chest of savings, isn't it? I haven't got one. No, you do. We've all got one.
Yes. And you're spending too much money on frivolous consumption items, we can see in the data.
Does that mean then that not all consumers are sad at the moment? Like,
yeah, well, that's right. So if you break that down, then yes, it's definitely people. So renters and people with a mortgage and young people really stick out as people who are feeling bad, which leaves people who own their homes outright.
Yeah,
which tends to be older folks.
Boomers.
And so you can't, boomers.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to say it. But yeah.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah, but you can break down consumption data by age. Mm. And in real terms, if you're under 44 years of old, you're not consuming any.
Sorry, you said years of old. It made me chuckle for some reason.
Years of age, right, yeah. Your real consumption hasn't gone anywhere in a decade.
Right.
If you're over 45 to 55, it's gone up a little bit. And then if you're over 65, it's gone up quite a lot.
Right.
And so the interesting thing is, like, what we've got is a boomer-powered economy, because consumption is the biggest driver of economic growth.
Mm.
Boomers are almost single-handedly driving real household consumption.
I was thinking we would be better off heading towards a solar-powered economy, but boomer power. I like the sound of that.
Yes.
get them on their exercise bikes, just churning out household power, drive down energy bills. It's win-win.
Yeah. So Tarek Brooker is an independent economist. He had some interesting charts on this on Twitter during the week. And yeah, so it's like it's all boomers.
Right.
Like, the point isn't that they're old. The point is that they own their homes outright. Like, that's the big difference.
Yeah.
Right. So we shouldn't like, you don't want to get into like, oh, there's a generational thing and everyone who's over 65 is having a great time. Because if you're renting and you're over 65, you're having a really miserable time right now.
Right.
And for, you know, women 60 years and over is the fastest growing homelessness cohort right now.
Right.
Yep. So it's not an age dimension. It's whether you own a house or not. Because if you own your house outright, then you're not feeling any pain from rate hikes.
All right. So if boomers are driving the economy, how do we slow that down, or do we just wait for it to happen because they're going to drive slow because they're boomers?
So, I mean, it's tricky. You're trying to slow, the RBA is trying to slow the economy. So if boomers are going to keep consuming, either we crunch consumption in the other cohorts so much that we offset the extra spending coming from older cohorts.
Mm.
So that's one way to slow the economy. Or you, kind of the only way to break boomers is to break house prices. So
right.
if, because a lot of them are spending based on the wealth effect out of the increase in house prices, making them feel wealthier. If that starts to slow, they'll feel less wealthy and they might consume less. That's like, it's not a boomer story. That's, you know, if you own your home outright, that's the only way you slow that. So is to break house prices. But by the time you break house prices, you've broken a lot of other things as well on the way down. Like, it's kind of hard to see a story where we, you know, don't bring inflation down on the road to crashing house prices. Doesn't involve bringing inflation down some pretty dramatically somehow anyway. Like, you'd have to have pretty high unemployment to bring house prices down. So like, there's a lot of other things that break along the way. So probably that really leaves, like, you know, I think older cohorts, people who own their own home are going to come through this period doing pretty well. And it's up for people who are renting or have a mortgage to bear the brunt of the RBA's anger.
But there must be something we can tax, surely. Like, I don't know. Can we just tax rugs or something? Like, all forms of rug, like nano rugs, hallway rugs.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know. I think they own their rugs outright now. I've still got a mortgage on my rug.
All right, why don't we take a break here? We'll grab a word from this week's sponsor. And after the break, we're going to be looking at Argentina's inflation rate at 97%, as well as having a look at why Binance has stopped receiving Aussie dollars. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back. You're on Comedian versus Economist. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send it to cve@equitymates.com or via the website equitymates.com/CVE, or you'll also find us on Instagram and Facebook at CVE Podcast. In fact, I've started a bit of a social media blitz, Thomas. You'll be pleased to know. So it's going off. So go and check that out. But Thomas, with mortgage rates up around the fives now here in Australia, I'm just wondering how that compares with other countries. What are interest rates at in, Argentina, for example?
It's funny you ask. I was just looking into Argentina this week. It's interesting.
Seamless.
Yeah. Anyone want to have a stab at where interest rates are in Argentina?
I don't know. Somewhere like 73%.
Exactly. Yeah, 97%.
Ooh.
97%. They were up. The Central Bank of Argentina increased rates 600 basis points last month.
Hang on. So I thought you said we said in the intro that inflation was at 97%. So you're saying interest rates are at 97% as well?
No.
They're one
of
the same thing.
I think you just misread the intro.
What?
I just couldn't be bothered correcting you. I was just like, wasting my time. So interest rates are up to 97%. Annual inflation's over 100%. Came in over 102% last month. So they've got, I don't know if you call that hyperinflation, but it's getting pretty close. So yeah.
If it's not, what is?
It got up to like 10,000% in Germany during the 30s or something.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. So there's still another level up.
That's pretty hyper.
That's hyper, yeah, yeah. So and only Venezuela and Zimbabwe have higher inflation at the moment.
Right.
So that's not a good club to be hanging out in.
No.
With inflation that high.
Okay, so they're at 100-ish percent inflation.
Yeah, and I mean, the Argentinian economy has been struggling for quite a long time, but then, yeah, got hit with the drought this year. So they're okay. a major grains exporter.
Right.
Yeah, it's got its worst drought in history. Its soy, corn, and wheat crops are all smashed, which means, and that's destroyed export revenue.
Hmm.
And so that's crashed the peso. So that's down 23% this year so far. So it's like, heading south
pretty
quickly.
That's rotten luck too. Cause when the war in Ukraine broke out, didn't Russia's
wheat prices exploded?
Yeah, they exploded. So Russia stopped exporting grain and wheat and prices exploded. Like Argentina would have been rubbing their hands and then like neck minute, drought.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, unlucky. Yeah, and then what happens when the peso collapses is that everything that you buy from overseas becomes much more expensive, and so that feeds directly into inflation.
Right.
Yeah. So you got So it's tough story in Argentina right now.
Mm. How do you live with that kind of inflation? Like, what does that look like in someone's kind of life?
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing I was doing a little reading on this is like it's. Like it just creates kind of chaos, like that kind of prices. Like it's just so hard to predict, to know, because you got to set, businesses sort of have to set their prices almost daily, but they don't know what to set at. And so they're trying to, you know, you imagine you're selling milk in your grocery store. You got to set the price, but you want to set the price that's going to, you know, is going to give you a margin so you can at least make a profit. But then you also need to sort of know what everyone else is doing, and they're all trying to figure out what to do. You know, it's not like, you know, here you just go, oh, bread, you know, bread's $6 and we'll just leave it at that for a couple of months and then see how we go. You got to do it almost daily.
Like,
and then consumers
prices.
And then consumers are having to do the same thing as well. So they're saying, like, you know, people go, they call them treasure hunts. They go on, you know, you go to one place for detergent and then you go for another place for eggs and, so just a hassle. Yeah, a lot of dangers, but yeah, big hassle as well, which just makes everything harder. The other thing is in Argentina, like there's no mortgage market, so if you want to buy a house, you got to pay with cash.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so there's no mortgage market because like with interest rates at 97% and like how do banks know how to price a mortgage or how to give you a mortgage? And
so
like,
do you mean there's no mortgage market just at the moment because of rampant inflation and high interest rates, or they don't have a mortgage market at all?
I think they don't have one at all.
Oh.
Yeah. But I think because they haven't sort of had the economic stability for the past whole generation to.
Well, don't interest rates become a little bit irrelevant then in a no lending environment?
I guess still people buy things with credit. Businesses still invest with credit.
I suppose.
Just don't have, the mortgage market's not a transmission mechanism like it is here.
Right.
And the other thing I saw is they have a saying called Quema la Plata, which I'm sure I've just nailed the pronunciation of.
Of course, it's what we
don't bother
here.
Correcting me. but that means burn the money. So it's the idea, like if you get money in your pocket, there's no point hanging on to it because it's just devaluing really quickly. So you want to spend it as fast as possible. And I saw an interview with a guy who bought a Toyota Hilux in 2018 for 4.5 million pesos. 6 months later, it was worth 7.5, and now it's worth $12 million. Million pesos.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not keeping pace with inflation, but it's it was much better to put that money into a Hilux than it was to hang on to the money, which creates this weird thing where people are then spending and people like spend really quickly. As soon as they earn money, they're spending, which is good for your economy if you're trying to activate it, not good if you're trying to slow it down from hyperinflation.
Yeah, right.
Or trying to build it as a pool of savings that you can invest from. You know, so people aren't saving money because it's losing value. So they're getting out and spending it as fast as possible.
Is that where people just start buying things like gold and stuff like that? Is that where?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just because you need to put your money somewhere. Yeah. So you just buy an asset of some kind, maybe not gold.
Yeah. Or something like that. Yeah. Something that acts as that store of value.
Right.
Because we talk money, one of the fundamental uses of money is it acts as a store of value. That you sell something, you capture the value in money, and then you can transfer that through time and then turn that value into something else.
What does it do to salaries. Like if you're earning $100 a day and inflation's running at 100% or higher, then what do employers do? What do employees do? Like, you can't be changing people's job salaries all the time to try and keep pace with inflation at that rate.
I think you do. You can't, you know, like with the 100% inflation, you're halving people's salaries every year.
Yeah.
So that needs to keep up.
I'd love to go into that meeting requesting a pay rise. How much would you like? 150% of what I'm on now.
Yeah,
that sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
All right, same time next week.
Yeah.
All right, finally on the show this week, Thomas, it has been a rough few days for the crypto exchange Binance. What's happened to Binance in Australia?
Yeah, they got hit with a double whammy on Thursday. Mm. So first up, they announced that they'd lost PayID functionality, so you can no longer PayID send money to Binance through PayID or deposit from an Australian bank.
Ah.
So you now need to log on and buy it with your credit card, deposit it through your credit card somehow.
It doesn't seem like a notable kind of step forward, but I guess it is. Makes it just a little bit harder.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, I argue if they're, you know, we've effectively pushed people towards buying crypto with credit. Yeah. That doesn't seem like a great outcome.
Yeah.
People will now have to use Afterpay to buy some crypto.
I think that's probably where it's going.
Right.
Yeah. So they're saying they've lost PayID functionality through their third party has cut them off. So Cuscal,
right. Yep.
The company that facilitates PayID, they said Binance is a dumpster fire and we wanted to get as far away from that train wreck as possible.
That's what they said, is it?
I'm reading a little bit between the lines,
right.
There.
Paraphrasing,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. So no, they're saying that they've got strict sort of due diligence and they just can't make that happen with Binance. It's too opaque. They don't know what's going on there.
Okay.
So they're cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same day, Westpac came out and said that they're rolling out a series of scam protection measures and you can no longer deal, Westpac customers will no longer have access to Binance at all.
Right. I think Westpac came out and said that they were cutting off access to a number of crypto exchanges, including Binance. So this one wasn't, I don't think they were targeting Binance per se, but they kind of
They did. The quote from Chris Whittingham, the general manager of Risk and Fraud, said, "Binance is a scam and all you crypto chads need to pull your head in." No, yeah. They didn't single out Binance in particular, but they're saying a trial in quotation marks. Like it seems pretty permanent, but they're calling it a trial and saying blocking customers from sending dollars to high risk exchanges.
Mm.
Binance just happens to be one, but they didn't name them specifically. Digital exchanges have a legitimate role to play, but we have blocked access to some overseas exchanges that are used more frequently than others for scams.
Mm.
And so their internal data they pointed to said that investment scams account for approximately half of all scam losses,
right,
and a third of all scam payments are transferred directly to cryptocurrency exchanges.
There'd be a lot of like cybercrime too. I mean, crypto is big in the cybercrime world. You know, like if you ever had the misfortune of seeing your computer being locked out and told to unlock all your data, you need to pay a ransomware gang, then that typically happens through Bitcoin and through an exchange.
Yeah. I mean, this seems to be the fallout from Silvergate. Like Silvergate positioned itself from this like tiny little regional bank somewhere out in the backwaters of America to being the crypto hub, bank for the crypto industry. And it seems like they did that by just letting anyone with a heartbeat go through them into the exchange, which meant all sorts of, you know,
nefarious characters.
Nefarious purposes.
So what's the future for Binance here then? Are they like, this is Binance Australia. So Binance is a pretty huge, I think it's the biggest crypto exchange in the world, isn't it?
Oh, it is now. Yeah, hands down.
Right.
Yeah, it was sort of neck and neck with FTX before revealed that FTX was also a scam.
FTX was also one of the biggest crypto exchanges in the world until it turns out it was actually one of the tiniest.
I think Binance is done. Like this is the same week they pulled out of Canada. So
right.
Canada cut them off. And they just said, oh, we can't deal with the regulations that are coming down on us. The FTC in the US has got legal action against them because they're not doing enough to stop US customers from getting on the exchange, even though US customers aren't supposed to be there. They somehow keep ending up there.
Really?
So not, FDX is...
I assume the bulk of their customer base was in the US.
I think it is. Right. They're just not supposed to be. I don't know, we might need to check. I haven't looked into that one too deeply, but more and more they're going to get cut off from the developed world.
Yeah,
because,
right.
Yeah, because, I mean, we don't even know where Binance is located. Maybe it was Malta, maybe it's the Cayman Islands.
Mm.
Yeah, it has been used for this sort of stuff, and it sort of existed in a sort of regulatory black hole and no one's been looking at it. But once you start looking at it and once you start looking what it can be used for, I'm not saying that everyone on Binance is, you know, money laundering, but it has that capacity and governments don't really like that.
But so does every exchange, right? Like there's Australian-owned exchanges, there's, you know, every exchange I guess has... To some extent, it's got the ability to convert your fiat currency into crypto coins. Mm. At which point, you could do anything you like with them. It's just a sort of gateway or an on ramp, I think, as some people call it, to get into crypto. And you don't necessarily have to then stay and then bank with your local crypto exchange like you would a normal bank. You can just move your crypto coins straight out into a different wallet. You can pay a scammer. Mm. You can do whatever. So isn't that kind of, I don't know, it's not so much a criticism of Binance in a sense, more a criticism of the whole crypto model.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Or is it the fact that there's no governance and there's no insight into Binance? Like, is that the bigger problem? So regulators in Australia have some visibility into the operations of the local ones, whether that's SwiftX or CoinSpot or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Binance is kind of running in a bit of a shadow.
I think it is. I mean, it's right. It's probably not like Binance is probably, you know, central to this because it is the biggest. And potentially it is a story for more exchanges.
Mm.
Yeah. And governments, it's going to be whack-a-mole for a while. Like we're going to try to bring this sort of to plug that gap in the financial system. Governments will try to do that, I think, unless there's some hardcore Republicans that are still pushing to sort of open it up. But I think once you have the first funded terrorist attack through crypto, I think that'll break the government's will to sort of keep supporting, keep that window open, and we'll just keep trying to close it. And they'll duck and weave, I think. The crypto space will duck and weave for a while, but I think it's to me it looks like an existential threat.
What does this mean for crypto generally then, do you think? Is it the beginning of the end?
Yeah, I'm a long-term bear, obviously. Well, we've talked about this before, but I think as it gets harder for the exchanges, the thing to remember is like there's still no use case for crypto. Like it's still not being used functionally for transaction or as a store of value. So it's still not performing like money.
Mm.
The only thing it's doing is acting as a speculative asset.
Mm.
But for that to happen, there needs to be trading. Because if there's not trading, you can't speculate. And so as trading dries up, you know, and like must be like 99.9% of all crypto transaction is just a speculative bet of some kind.
Mm.
And that's done through exchanges. As the exchanges make that speculative betting harder to do, and it gets pushed further and further away from the core of the financial system, and which means harder and harder to access by your average ordinary Australian or average ordinary punter. He's not willing to sort of, you know, invest in sort of all the skills and knowledge that's required to go completely off grid with their gambling. That volume of trading declines. As the volume of trading declines, that means demand falls and the price falls.
Mm.
Like that's a natural consequence to me. So I think it does, it's definitely price negative. And I think that's the more this happens, the more stuff like this goes on, the more downward pressure there is on the crypto price overall, I think.
All right, cool. Well, if you are interested in crypto and learning a lot more about crypto, don't forget there is the Crypto Curious podcast from Equity Mates, where I'm sure they'll be covering this story and everything else in much more detail in the crypto space. So make sure you check that one out. We look forward to talking to you again next time on Comedian versus Economist. But for now, it is bye from us.
You have been listening to an Equity Mates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. we pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.